With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
In a world where very few people embrace their global identity and seek to understand their neighbors, cross-cultural expert Tayo Roxon is on a mission to bridge this divide. Each week, he'll open your mind with insights from some of the global minds in the world. Get ready, take some notes, and learn how to be the best you that you can be.
Welcome everybody to another episode of As Told by Nomads. Today's episode is with Gabby Wallace. So who is Gabby? Well, when Gabby was young, she wanted to travel the world and achieve world peace. Same here. These dreams led her to an incredible journey teaching English to students in Japan. As her vision grew, she started Go Natural English to teach English to students around the world. She has taught over 100,000 students since the beginning of her company, and throughout her career, she's visited many countries and met many interesting people along the way. Having big dreams and always looking for the better story has made Wallace's life both exciting and meaningful. Now today, I'm really excited to have her on, not only just because we're going to talk about her cross-cultural adventures, but also we're going to discuss how to leverage what you're already doing to build your own online successful business. You know, how to figure out what it is that you want to do and how to find the right vehicle. So I'm excited to have Miss Wallace on the show. Welcome, Gabby.
Hey, Ty, I'm so excited to be here with you. Thank you for that beautiful introduction.
Well, it is your life, and you are the author of that. So why don't you tell me, well, I'll start it. You know, how and why are you the Gabby you are today?
Wow, what a question. So I always wanted to travel. I mean, when I was in college, I knew I wanted to travel, but you know, I was looking at what I could study and how I could become a traveler. There was no degree program called Travel the World, right? I mean, that's what everyone would probably study if it was like BA in traveling the world. But I always had interest to get to know the world, to get to know different cultures. And I guess that came from, actually, this is something not a lot of people know. I rarely mention it, but when I was 10, my family and I moved from Minnesota, where I was born, out to Hawaii. And Hawaii is still in the U.S. It's not a different country, but the culture is so radically different from Minnesotan culture. And that really whet my appetite to learn about the world, you know, growing up, becoming a young adult. So, I mean, long story short, I just wanted to do something where I could travel and work and get to know different cultures. And that's how I became an English teacher. That's how I ended up in Japan, as you mentioned. And, you know, from there, that's how I built my business online, which we'll probably talk about more.
No, that's it's really fascinating to me because I was, had to take this big gulp here because I almost had an attack in my throat here. But, the reason why it's fascinating to me is because one of my mentors, she's also American, but she grew up significantly in Hawaii. She talked about the difference of cultures there. And what we always talk about on the show a lot of times is this idea of being a third culture kid. You know, the idea of spending your formative period outside of your parents' culture, or just constantly being in between cultures. I'm very curious, though, because, you know, I know that you wanted to achieve world peace.
Yeah. Why did you? Yeah. Just that, you know.
Yeah, just, you know, just make sure the world's peaceful. Why was it something that was so ingrained into you at a young age?
Oh, man, I hate it when people fight. It's like, it's such a small thing, but I hate seeing friends fight. I hate seeing family fight. I hate, you know, when people get into fights over, you know, differences that really, you know, we shouldn't be getting into disagreements over. I always wanted to help people to communicate better across cultures, because sometimes I see, like, I mean, okay, let's take it back to fifth grade again. 10 years old, I moved from Minnesota to Hawaii, and the kids there, they saw me as different. I was like different color, different background. I wasn't like in their clique. And so I got in a lot of fights just because of that, just because they didn't understand where I was coming from, like literally, or, you know, who I was. And so that kind of marked me, like that childhood experience just made me think, man, there's got to be a better way. And out of that, I guess it's become kind of my life's mission to help people communicate better. And that's how I became this English as a second language instructor. Because I hope if people can, you know, communicate using English as that global language that it is, then, you know, maybe we can get past some of those misunderstandings and like really appreciate different cultures and learn from each other too.
And you've been doing this for what, about 10 years?
Yeah, I remember my first volunteer ESL language teaching experience. I was helping this woman from Argentina. I think it was back in 2003 or so. So it's been over 10 years now.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So, okay. All right. So tell me about that experience. You started doing that, and then were you exclusively focused in Japan?
It's funny because I thought I would go for a career in the United Nations. That was for years. That was my goal. I was studying international studies. And I was like, all I want to do is get a job in the United Nations. That sounds like the coolest thing ever. And it didn't happen. I discovered this love of languages, and I, by chance, just, you know, I thought it would be cool to volunteer to like tutor adults who are learning English in my community. And through that, I got to know this lovely woman from Argentina, and I just enjoyed it. And I thought, like, maybe this is something that I could do more of. And then it was my father's influence, actually, that brought me to Japan. He's not Japanese, but he was in the army in, like, the 50s, 1950s, and he got stationed in Japan and then South Korea. And so I think he wanted to kind of live through me again. And like, he encouraged me to go over there because I think he wanted to go back over there. But it was a really great suggestion or encouragement of his. He found a program called the JET program and encouraged me to apply for that. But that's where the opportunity was. And that's kind of where life led me.
Wow! Wow! That's an incredible story, and I actually do know of the JET program, but yeah, it's funny how you said your dad was possibly trying to live through you. Something happened.
Yeah.
Something happened though, because you know
he loved it over there. I think that rubbed off on me too, because I remember as a kid, like, we had art on the walls from Japan, and I was like, "What is this? This is kind of cool, but I don't know what is this culture." And so, I mean, just the little things, the little influences that you see when you're a kid, you know, can come out in your life in different ways. It's really interesting.
Totally, absolutely. The thing that happened to you that was interesting, though, was you started to create some video tutorials for your students, and then I don't know what.
Yeah,
200,000 subscribers.
Yeah, I think now it's like 230,000 as of today.
Excuse me?
Which is pretty cool. I mean, that's like 230,000 subscribers. Yeah, and like 12 million views total.
Sheesh. Okay, well, okay. Well, then let's segue into that. How did you do it by accident? What was the problem? What was the solution? I don't even know. That's incredible.
It was kind of by accident, because, oh gosh. So I decided to do something kind of outside of my work. I was working as an English teacher. So I had these English learner students who, you know, they needed my help. They wanted to become fluent in English. And we had class together. My job was to teach them during class time. But then I had this free time where I had to kind of be in the office, but, you know, didn't really know what to do with myself. I don't know if you've ever had a job where you're like, I have to put in my hours, but I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing.
Absolutely. And, definitely.
So, I think we've all been there. And so I was just thinking, like, what can I do that would be helpful, productive, and maybe like something that would create more opportunities for me? It's not like I made, you know, 100 videos in the first day. I made one video, you know, April 2011 was when I started doing this. I made one video. It took me like 3 days to make one 5-minute video. And the idea was just to make some resource that would help my students. And I had no clue what that would mean for me, what opportunities that would create for me. But I did have this idea that, like, if you create something, if you create a resource, maybe it could be audio, it could be text, it could be video, like that thing, you know, it exists outside of me. So, you know, while I'm sleeping, my students could be watching that. And so that's kind of creation of something that, I don't know, it can help people regardless of where you are. So I thought, okay, this could be something interesting. And I was going to email this video tutorial to my students. So it was kind of an accident the way I got onto YouTube, because I thought, okay, now this video file is too big to email. This is not going to work. It's too slow. It's too big. Oh yeah, there's this site called YouTube, and I can just post my video and then share the link. So I did that. I decided to keep the settings on public because, I mean, why not? Maybe other people would find it interesting. I actually didn't think that anyone would watch my videos besides my students, and maybe even my students wouldn't watch them either. But I uploaded to YouTube, sent the link to my students in, you know, mid 2011. It all started there. And I just kept at it. It's been over five years now.
Wow. I mean, if that's not a definition of, you know, leveraging what you already do and turning that into business, I don't know what is. But
that's the thing, is whatever you're doing, I mean, that's what I hope to communicate with this conversation and with your listeners, is whatever you're doing, it's like, you don't have to go create something entirely new and unique and outside of who you are and what you're doing. Like, think about how you can leverage what you're already doing. Maybe you're teaching something, or maybe you have expertise, or you've gained some skills doing the job that you're already doing. Or maybe you're like not even doing a job and you're unemployed, but maybe you could teach people how to like find a job or how to be successfully unemployed. I don't know. Like, whatever you're doing, just lean into it.
Hmm. Well, then a question I'll have for you is, there's a fraction of people that would say, I don't know what I want to do. Well, where can I get started? How can you build an audience before you're ready?
If you really don't know what you want to do, one thing that I think is important is to figure out what you're curious about, figure out what you would like to learn about. Maybe you're not going to be a teacher, though. I mean, that's something, if you're going to teach a skill, if you're going to create tutorials like I do, it helps to have some knowledge, right? I mean, I got my master's degree in teaching English as a second language. But a lot of people on YouTube, for example, or, you know, podcasters, like, they express their personality and they share entertainment with people. And just by, like, sharing stories and helping people to laugh and, like, think about ideas, that's another thing that maybe that comes easy to you. I mean, I can't tell anyone what you should do, but I think exploring what you're curious about, even if it's a little thing like, oh, that store looks really interesting, I want to go inside, and, you know, maybe you've never been into that store and you discover, like, it's a really interesting music store or something. I don't know. I'm just using a random example off the top of my mind. But, like, follow your curiosity. Don't worry about creating this big, perfect thing. Like, just follow your curiosity until it leads you to something that you feel passionate about. And you're like, oh, I could actually start creating something around this, talking about it or helping other people to understand it or whatever it is.
I love that because I think following your curiosity is what would ultimately lead you to your passion and then your purpose. And yeah. A lot of people are not, well, I wouldn't say brave enough. They're afraid to follow that curiosity because they just don't know. It's not concrete enough. You know, for me, it was telling stories. It was connecting across cultures. And it was using media to do that in some way. And I didn't think that it would be a podcast initially that would open that. I thought it would be something traditional. So I'd have to go to school. But I just moved to New York City in the area 3 years ago. And I was like, I've got to figure it out. This is the media capital of the world. But I was following that, whatever I was curious about. And then, and then it led to just me, oh, well, I want to try a podcast. Why don't I try this? Why don't I try that? And that's what sort of, you know, built several of the platforms. Because then you can start to leverage that and say, well, this is kind of what I've built. I can turn this into that.
But totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I think every time that I've been, you know, stuck in that thought pattern, like, you see, you know, I got to figure out what am I going to do? I got to figure it out, like put a lot of pressure on myself, then it doesn't come.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Another thing, as we're moving on to the next topic, is I'm very curious about the small steps to reach the world. For those listening, Small Steps to Reach the World is the title of Gabby's TEDx talk. You know, it's garnered over 13,000 views. She did it early this year. So, you know, a lot of people in the comments were really, really impressed with your communication skills and the effectiveness of how you communicate your point across. Can you tell me a little bit about these small steps to reach the world?
Oh, thank you. Thanks for bringing that up. I'm really proud of being able to do a TEDx talk. And inside the talk, I show how I went from, you know, someone who wanted to make a difference and travel and learn about different cultures to being able to do that. And not only traveling, but also building a business while I was doing that and still building my business. But the small steps. So I, you know, from tutoring that woman from Argentina and then following my father's suggestion to apply for this, you know, JET program in Japan and then ending up in Japan and feeling bored. Oh, this stinks. I'm really bored. I hate my life. Being like, how can I do something productive and creative and helpful? That was a turning point, right? Deciding to be creative and doing something with that kind of downtime, that void in my schedule where I was twiddling my thumbs. And then just listening and continuing, even when it felt challenging or when I felt like, what am I doing? Who am I to be telling people how to learn English? There's, you know, thousands of better English teachers than me. Who am I to do it? Like getting past those thoughts or those voices in my head, like just pushing them aside and be like, no, I'm going to keep doing this. So what if I make a fool of myself? So what if some people in the comments are like, I hate your outfit. Like, who cares? Let's just keep doing it. Just keep going. Because I believe that I was helping people or that I was, you know, doing something that I could learn from or, you know, something positive would come. So really, mindset was a big part of these small steps.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
steps. When I think of the small steps, I think of like every little video that I made. I mean, I don't know how many I've made now, hundreds of videos, but I didn't make them all in one day. And like I said, that first video took me like 3 days to make. And then when I finally made it, I looked at myself, I was like, oh, this is so embarrassing. I don't like how I look. How can I possibly share this? But I didn't think about, oh my gosh, 12 million people are going to watch this. I just thought about, okay, maybe I can help my students, my like 8 students. I had a very small classroom. And I thought, okay, it's okay to share this with my 8 students. So think about like one person or maybe a small group of people who you could reach. And I find that much easier to create when you have a very small group of people in mind versus, oh my God, someday, you know, millions of people are going to see this. And that's a lot of pressure, right? You want to have everything perfect. And it's not ever going to be perfect. So I think just thinking about the next smallest step that you could make toward being creative or toward helping people, like maybe you could brainstorm some topics that you want to talk about, or brainstorm like what are like 2 or 3 questions that people ask you a lot. You know, that's a small thing that you could do. Maybe it takes you 15 minutes to think about, what are people always asking me? Maybe they're always asking you like, oh, well, what clothes look good on me? Maybe you're really good with style, and then that's something that you actually could help other people with. A lot of the times you don't realize what your talents are, right? Because they come easy to you. Maybe you're like, doesn't everybody know how to dress? Like, no, not everybody knows how to dress, but it comes easy to you, right? So that's something that you could help people with. And it's like identifying that. That's another, actually kind of a big step, but you got to look for the little clues. So I feel like I'm going off on a tangent, but I don't know. I hope that this is helpful. I hope I'm kind of answering your question.
No, you are. You are. I mean, it's all about the next move. I really like what you said about, you know, things that you're inherently good at. What questions people ask you the most, you know, like that's a clue, you know, that's like, oh my goodness, I've got something here. Everybody's always asking me about relationship advice. Everybody's always asking me about the best trip or tips in doing that, how to do that.
Yeah. Or like, how did you make that cake? That was delicious, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those little clues.
So no, I completely agree with that. So, you know, each step you take reveals a new horizon. You have taken the first step today. Now I challenge you to take another. That's something Dan Pointner says. But I think it's a great point. Now, another reason why you're so great, you're so multifaceted. So there's so many things to talk to you about. But one thing that you really focus on is inspiring people to create, market, monetize, and make a difference for your online businesses. I'm thinking I am someone that needs help in this. I come to you, Gabby. I say, help. I'm on my knees. Please save me. What do you do? How do I just become this maestro?
Yeah. So again, I would bring it back to taking small steps to create something. I would have to know more about, like, what are you passionate about? What are your skills, your passion? What are you doing now? Are you...
I'll paint the picture. So I'm going to use a different version of me. Say I need help. Gabby, I traveled all over the world as a kid. My dad is a diplomat. I kind of just, you know, had this thing in me since I was 6th grade, 10, 11. Wanted to make an impact, but didn't quite know what I could do. I know I'm good at connecting across cultures and talking to people and being anywhere in the world. I know I like to talk, and I have aspirations of doing something in media, but what can I do? I mean, the online media is changing. Where can I start?
It's always changing. So I love video. I would recommend to try creating videos. That's the thing, is like anything I recommend, anything I encourage you to try out, you gotta just try it and then feel how it works or doesn't work. Like, I wish that I could be a comedy star on YouTube. I tried to incorporate some humor into my videos and like into my social media, and every time I do it, it falls flat. So this is something, it's like, you gotta try it. And I mean, it's so frustrating when this happens, but instead of being like, oh my God, I'm a failure, nobody understands, just like take that and be like, okay, well, maybe like for me, maybe I should stick with my kind of tutorial style. Like, this is how you do this. And it's not that I'm so serious, but I'm also not trying to like be sarcastic or, you know, make people crack up, because honestly, when you're talking to people all over the world, like with English lessons, culture and humor are like really different. So back to you, though, you said, what should I do? If you're interested in, it sounds like maybe showing the different places you've traveled or talking about your experiences in different culture, I guess I would think about, what is that goal? I mean, not to be famous, that might be a goal, but like, what do you want to help people with? What is that goal? Do you want to help people laugh? Do you want to entertain? Or do you want to like show people how to do a skill? Or do you want to, I don't know, like, could be a number of different things you want to do.
I'll help you out here. So the whole goal, if I'm taking myself out of this imaginary guy that happens to share my name, is the whole goal is to help build the next set of global leaders. And to do that, you know, effectively, I feel like one needs to understand how to communicate across cultures. We live in a global and digital world. Not many people are global and digital. And there are many nuances that people, I feel like, need to pick up on as we become increasingly globalized. So yeah, you know, the whole goal is to help inspire and build the next set of global leaders while changing people's opinions on inequalities, things from gender equality to the racism and all the isms. So that's kind of what the platform is, an education platform as well as a teaching tool.
I love that. I think that you can do so much through your interviews and also through telling stories. I'm sure that you've experienced so much in your life, and you know, you're young, but if you could, you know, create more audio or even video telling your stories, that would be really interesting, I think, for people to be able to live vicariously through your experiences. You know, a lot of people think we take it for granted when we, you know, you and I, we can travel easily and we've lived in different countries, but a lot of people are not able to leave their city or their village or, you know, wherever they are. And so the internet is an amazing tool where they can hear stories about what it's like to live in like five different countries, or, you know, speak different languages or connect with different people when you travel. So just storytelling, even if that event has already passed, right? You could tell a story about it. Or if you are currently traveling, you could take some video as you go and like actually show visually what it's like to travel. And I think for everyone, it's a trial and error. It's a series of creating things, shipping that thing. So, you know, putting it out there, even if it's not perfect, I think there's a certain balance of quality versus just getting it out there and seeing how people react to it. Because you can create something and you think it's awesome, but like if nobody really appreciates it or you don't get people's feedback, you're kind of stuck. So for me, it's always a constant evolution with my audience. And I know people ask me all the time, they're like, what if I don't have an audience of, you know, 230,000 people subscribed to me? That's when you, especially in the beginning, you know, you got to get out there and share whatever it is you make. You make it, and then you're like, hey, friends, please listen to this. Give me your feedback. Or, you know, you email your current students, or you reach out to past colleagues, and you're like, hey, I'm doing this creative project. I think you might be interested. Take a listen or take a look. So I wish that I had like an exact blueprint or a checklist, like do these exact things. But it's not just having this massive audience online, but your audience is also the people who are around every day. And if you leave your house and talk to people, if you talk to people on the phone, that's where you can start. Like, ask your friends or your family, like, hey, what do you think is different? Like, what could I help people with? Or, you know, if that feels awkward, you can do, there's like these anonymous survey things. I think I used one through this site called Reach 360. I found it really interesting. It's like a free thing you can do, sort of like the personality test that you can take out there. I mean, I think those are a great place to start if you're just feeling like, I have no clue what I'm good at or what's unique about me. Just start with where you are. Start with the people around you. I think you can get a lot of good clues. You could even post on Facebook like, hey, guys, you know, if you have some Facebook friends, ask people like, what are three unique things about me? And maybe people will comment and tell you something.
First of all, that's great. I really agree with everything you said. It's just a matter of trial and error, being willing to put yourself out there, being willing to do the hard work. And a lot of things come from being understanding who you are, being incredibly self-aware and knowing how to tell the right stories. You know, master storyteller Michael Mogoli says, only when people can locate themselves in your narrative will they participate in your story.
And
it's all about being someone that people can relate to, whether they're living vicariously through you. They have to build that trust and establish, like, I can see myself doing that too. But I do also love the idea of that self-awareness. I brought it up earlier. A lot of the great speakers, a lot of the great talkers, great entrepreneurs always talk about a great sense of who they are. That way they know what their strengths are. They know how to focus on that, and they know how to position themselves where their strengths are being highlighted more or their strengths are being leveraged more. So great points. Great points.
Thank you.
As we're getting ready to wrap up here, I want to kind of just round off here by having you share lessons you've learned from communicating across cultures. What are the things that you have learned, and what tips can you share?
Oh, man, what a great question. Wow. I think that just being observant goes a long way. So, you know, before I go out and try to, you know, say what I'm all about, if I'm face to face, if I'm traveling, you know, I'll really try to observe how are people communicating, and how can I express myself in a way that's going to be understood, you know, in that country, that culture where I'm traveling. I mean, it's interesting thinking about different forms of communication. I think verbal communication is a small fraction of the way we communicate. And so I try to really be aware of, like, visually, you know, like, how you present yourself, your gestures, your facial expression, the clothing that you wear. I'll share a little story. It's kind of, I think it's funny. I don't know. English learner emailed me, you know, in response to my lessons on YouTube. And I think he was from somewhere in the Middle East. I'm not sure exactly what country, but he said, hey, you know, could you please cover up? Could you please wear like a hijab or a burqa or something in your videos? And if you're going to speak English with people from all over the world, you're going to have to be, you know, okay with seeing women like showing their hair and stuff. But on the other hand, I do try to be a little bit more conservative than I might be if I was just teaching English, you know, to Brazilian students, for example, where it's like I go to Brazil and it's for me it seems more, you know, acceptable to show like your arms, your shoulders, like whatever. So just being aware of all the different ways that we communicate, that's something that I've tried to be more just aware of.
Well, I mean, I do think there's definitely understanding a cultural lens is something that is very, very necessary. I'm actually doing a series with Andy Malinsky where we're going through 10 countries and the cultural codes. He's painstakingly gone through 10 cultures and dissected the cultural codes. Now, this is by no means the be-all, end-all. You know, I read this, I listen to this, I can now live here. But it's more of a lens to see each culture and kind of understand the nuances. And I do think it's important to arm yourself with those nuances before going into different cultures, for sure.
Definitely. Yeah.
Well, so then what's next for you? What's next for you as you know, where can people find you and what's the big thing that you're working on?
Yeah. Well, if you want to see what I'm doing with English teaching, my website and my YouTube channel are called Go Natural English. And as I grow that, I'm getting a lot of questions from people who would like to also work online, teach online, build businesses, build YouTube channels. So I'm really open and excited to mentoring people with that. And you can find out more about the behind the scenes at GabbyWallace.com. And yeah, I just want to say it's been a really interesting conversation with you. I mean, I don't often get to talk about, you know, cross-cultural communication and travel and like all these things that affect our lives as like multicultural people. And this has been really awesome. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
Oh, absolutely. It's been my pleasure. But you know, I can't let you go. Actually asking you this question. I asked all my listeners this question, and it's my mission statement: use your difference to make a difference. So, Gabby, how do you use your difference to make a difference?
Ooh, I like that. So my difference, man, I love presenting on video. I think that's one of my strong points. The last couple of days, I was like, okay, I'm going to sit down and record. And I did 20 videos in a couple of days, which is kind of a lot. I'm really passionate about communication. I think that's something that I've identified as a difference. I guess I'm telling you my strengths, but you know, also I think my strengths, they come from weaknesses too. Like I love speaking in public, but I get kind of freaked out. I get nervous. So being on video for me is awesome because it's just me and the camera. So it's like when you do find something that freaks you out, like, yeah, sometimes it's good to push through that and do it. Like, yeah, I did a TEDx talk. That was amazing. But yeah, if you find something that's like, oh, I feel really nervous with that, maybe that will lead you to something else. Like for me, public speaking, maybe not. Let's do videos. Like, yeah, just keep going. Just keep pushing through. What would it take for you to get your voice out there? That's a question to think about.
Absolutely. Love it. Love it. Love it. And that's a great way to use your difference to make a difference. But we will be checking your website out, and we'll be making sure everything is in the show notes. But I do want to thank you for spending time and letting us know a little bit more about yourself, why you do what you do, and where people can find you. It's incredible.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Kyle.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.